late for this time tonight. Lord gets the burning in your heart. It's kind of hard to wait. But I feel this is time. After all this earnest request and all that, I sure wouldn't want to get up here if I didn't feel definitely that the Lord wanted me here. I've been sitting over there on that bench over there for 24, 25 years, trying to figure out which it was, just about that same seat. When I first came here in 1961, I was very green at all this, and I just didn't have no more sense than get right up front, up on the top, and sit down. I just went up there and sit right down up front. And seems like we've been coming back all those many years, sitting there in about the same place, just about the same place, year in, year out. Therefore, I've been able to observe a lot of things. And our method of going to Monarch has been over the number of years, especially since we've been in full-time gospel work since 63, has been to stay the whole meeting. We generally come before, be here for the first one, and we're generally here for the last one. So most meetings we get to hear 27 or 8, maybe 30 messages. One year here, we had sat here in the meeting, and we went from here over to Myrtle, and we sat in 63 services and never missed a one, three a day. Them seats get hard after a while, but you hear a lot of things, a lot of messages preached. I've seen people come and go. I've seen them older sitting around here missing. They're going to fill those seats. They're gone to their reward. I've seen some that is preaching this pulpit. It's like what it said, Paul said, demons love this present world. And it turned back, gone away from the Lord. I've seen him preach right here, just seem like anointed of the Lord, and blessed of the Lord. But they're somewhere now out on the mountains of sin someplace. But I'm glad to still be here, thank the Lord. I've had the devil to attack me on every side, but I've had found that the grace of God was sufficient to meet everything the devil throwed at me. And one thing I have learned, and that's not my subject tonight, but the saints love freedom. They love freedom. People of God love freedom. Well, that's what he said he would do for it, wasn't it? He that the Son has made free is free indeed. And to know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is one thing I've noticed over the years. Observe, I do a lot of observing, a lot of listening, a lot of writing. One thing I have noticed, that the people of God love freedom. They love their freedom. And when something comes along that tries to take their freedom, they won't accept that. They won't accept that. Saints won't accept that. You can preach it all you want to, but they won't measure up to it. If it's something that's going to put them in bondage and take their freedom, they won't accept it. They just won't accept it. That's one thing I observed over the years. And so if you're having trouble getting somebody to measure up to something you're preaching, but examine that thing. Maybe he's trying to take somebody's liberty or somebody's freedom. I don't know why the Lord impressed me to say that, but I felt the Lord wanted me to say that. I love freedom. I was in bondage to the devil. I was in bondage to drinking, smoking, lying, stealing, cheating, lust, all those kind of things. And when God saved me, He set me free from every one of those things. In one setting. One altar work. Set me free from all those things. And I've had no more desire for them for almost 30 years. May the Lord bless us tonight now. I love my freedom. If you want me to buck against you, you try to take my freedom and I'll buck. I won't give it up. I won't give up my freedom. I won't give it up. I'm free in the Lord. I'm free to serve God. And I'm free to worship God in spirit and in truth. I'm not allowed to use my freedom as a stumbling block. But I'm free tonight. Thank God. We want to talk about something tonight that will apply to every one of us that's in here that's old enough to understand. That's going to be quite a subject, isn't it? It will apply. There'll be something here, and if the Lord blesses us to bring out what we're on our mind, there'll be something here for everybody that'll be one to accept it and listen to it. It'll be for the sinners, for those, for the church, for just for the whole crowd. I noticed lately in my ministry, traveling some, that these are mostly the type of message the Lord gives us anymore. Because sometimes you go out to preach in a revival meeting and there ain't no sinners there. And you got a message all there to preach to the sinner and no sinner shows up. The Lord has something for somebody that's there. May the Lord bless us tonight. I want to talk about cleansing tonight, purifying, purging, burning, consuming, a lot of things tonight. Here in 1 John we will start, first chapter, 7th verse, we desire your prayers. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I want you to know tonight, if you don't already know this, that the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. That's what it said, wasn't it? The blood of Jesus shall cleanse you from all sin. There's no, don't need any interpretation on that. It's a fact, as we've heard in this meeting, that the blood of Jesus has the power and the cleansing power to cleanse you from all sin. All sin. No matter what it is or what it's sin or how deep you got in the sin or how self-righteous you may be or how good moral you may be or how you might have been raised. There's power in the blood to save from sin. There's power in the blood to save from sin. I'm especially thinking tonight of the cleansing power. The cleansing power. God wants to cleanse us all tonight, every one of us. Before we'll get through, by the help of the Lord, we hope that if anybody has anything tonight, I believe you'll see that the Lord will and able and wants to cleanse you from that thing tonight. Sin is the cause of it all. First thing we have to have if we want to go to heaven, if we want to be a member in the church of God, if we want to be blessed of the Lord, we must be cleansed from sin. And the only thing that will cleanse us from sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing else will do the work. Nothing else has the power. No man, no doctor, no teaching, no church, no preacher. Nobody has the power to cleanse a man from sin. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from all sin. I want us to get a hold of that tonight. It's going to mean something another as we go along. The blood of Jesus will cleanse you from all sin. Revelation 1 and 5 said, unto Jesus, who was a faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and Prince the King of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The blood of Jesus will wash you tonight, or me, from all sin. Now, to keep our thought in going, we want to touch on different things, but I want us to find out how can we get that blood applied to our sin. That's important, isn't it? Because we can see, and we're just going to use a little scripture or two here. There's many more we could use. But I want us to see tonight, I believe we've already said enough, to show that everyone is able, that believes the Bible, that believes the Word of God, that they'll have to admit that the Bible says that the blood of Jesus will cleanse from all sin. All sin. So, what we have to have then, if we want to be saved from sin, we're going to have to have the blood of Jesus to wash away our sins. And how are we going to get that done? How are we going to get that done? Well, we could just go on and mention Scripture. The Bible said to repent, repent. That's one way of getting the blood applied, by repenting of our sins. Whoso went on down there and it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. So what we have to do if we want to get free of sin tonight, no other way, no other avenue, no other place, no place to look, nowhere else. If you want to be free from sin tonight, you must confess and forsake your sins. That's all there are to it. Don't need interpretation on that. It's just that plain. If you want to be saved, you must confess your sins to God. And another place it said in the Bible, whosoever confesseth and forsaketh shall obtain mercy. So tonight, if you want to be saved, if you want to be a part of the kingdom of God, if you want to go to heaven when you die, you want to be numbered among the people of God, and you want to be in favor with the Lord, then you come and confess your sins to God tonight, and be willing to forsake them, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from sin. No question about that. It ain't a question whether He will or not. No question about whether He wants to or not. No question about whether He's willing to or not. He wants to. He died for that purpose. He came into the world seeking to save that which was lost. As we heard in the meeting already, that He did not come to condemn people, but He came to save people. And so it is tonight. It's not His purpose to condemn you. That's not God's business. A man sometimes condemns and accuses and abuses. And the devil does that, but not God. God did not come to condemn people, but He came to save people. And Brother Oster said that the Lord told him that I want you to preach that way. And he said he'd been preaching that way all these years. And I believe we'll have to confess he's been successful. May the Lord help us tonight. He did not condemn, but He came to save. So the question is not tonight whether He will save us or whether He wants to save us or what kind of conditions and all those kind of things that gets all confused and all mixed up in many times. It's a simple fact tonight. If you're tired of sin and you want to be saved and you're willing to forsake sin, if you'll come and confess them to God, God will, through His Son Jesus, that blood that was shed on the cross, I will cleanse you from all sin. That's just as plain as it can be, isn't it? Just as plain as it can be. Don't have to question that. Ain't no confusion about that, is it? No, nobody needs to get confused about that. One time I visited some people down in a part of Charleston, West Virginia, and I got talking to them about getting saved and so forth and so on, and they didn't get saved. But one fellow looked over to the other fellow, and he said, there's one thing about it. We won't have to wonder anymore how to get saved. We won't have to wonder anymore. If we give people what the Word of God says, there's no confusion about it. All confusion comes from the devil. And therefore tonight the plan of salvation is plain. It is simple. It is down to earth. God is a reasonable God. And He deals with you through in reasonable manners and through understanding. It's not some big rigmarole that no people can get a hold of. Even a child can understand it, and so forth tonight. If you want to be saved, then you must be cleansed from sin, and the only way you can be cleansed from sin is to confess your sins to God and repent of your sins, turn your back on sin, and the blood of Jesus Christ will be applied to your sin right there and right then. You'll be a child of God, saved from sin. Thank God tonight. Amen. Thank the Lord for the blood of Jesus tonight. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. That's just as true as heaven. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast him out. He that wants to be saved can be saved. He that wants to get his sins under the blood can get them under the blood. They can do that. All you got to do is be willing to confess and forsake. That's all you've got to do, is to be willing to confess and to say. All right. Now, we're going to turn over here. That's the first part. That's the first part. Over here in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, we see something else. He told here in 5 and about 25, husband, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. All right, here we are, we're saved, we're cleansed from all sin. We're cleansed from all sin. The blood of Jesus has saved us, has blotted out our sins, has cleansed us, and we have been bought with a price. We've been born into the kingdom of God. We become a part of the family of God. That's the only way you can get in, isn't it? Become a part of the family of God. You became a part of the church of God. You won't need to join anything. You won't need to shake anybody's hand. You won't have to answer to no preacher. Just be saved and you're a child of God. And he that's son made free is free indeed. You're free from sin. You're a child of God. You're ready for heaven. And nothing can stop you from then on, if you allow the Lord to keep cleansing you all the way through. The same thing that cleansed you will keep right on cleansing you. Praise God. Praise the Lord tonight. That's one of our main thoughts tonight. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. He's talking to the church here now. So, after we are saved, then there's some more cleansing that has to take place. There's another cleansing. I don't want to say another. I don't want to get mixed up here. There is more cleansing that will be performed after we're saved. But now the Scripture said, and the Bible don't contradict itself, it said the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. And therefore, when the blood of Jesus is applied to our heart, it cleanses us from all sin. Every one of them. That's what it said, wasn't it? All right, what's he talking about here then? Well, there's something about a man that is born, and I had nothing to do with what Adam done. I had no say-so about that at all. How I was born and how come me to be a corrupt creature born into this world. I had a nature about me that caused me to go into sin. I had a nature about me that caused me to lie, that caused me to steal, that caused me to cheat. My very nature was to do wrong. That was the nature that I was born with. That's the nature I came into this world with. And that was the nature that everybody that's ever been born since the day of Adam was born with a nature that was warped and needed and caused him to go astray as soon as they come from the mother's womb. Therefore, he said a while ago, it said the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. All right? Well, I've heard this called sin and all those things, but what it really was, what we really need, after we are saved and the blood has been applied to our sins, is to have our nature straightened out. That's what we need. We have a wrong nature. There's a wrong nature about folks. There's a wrong nature about people. And therefore, when you are saved, the blood of Jesus blots out all your sins. But still, you've got a nature that needs to be changed. And the same cleansing. And how are we going to get that cleansed? How are we going to get that nature cleansed? How are we going to get that thing taken care of? How are we going to get it eradicated? How are we going to get it taken care of? Well, the Bible says in Romans, 16, it said we are sanctified by, it said you're being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. And so it is tonight. It's the Holy Ghost. The blood of Jesus washes all of our sins away. And then after we have gone and consecrated, we want to get to that a minute. But anyway, it is the Holy Ghost that comes into our lives, sets things in order, cleanses and sets in order that old depraved nature that we were born with, and sets that very nature, and we begin then to take on a divine nature. Yes, there's something that has to be cleansed. It is a cleansing, not of the sins. We've already confessed them. We've already been forgiven of them. But then there's something about a man. He, like I said a while ago, he was born in a depraved condition. His very nature was wrong. His very way of living was wrong. And that's why the world's in the condition it's in today. That's why you're doing some things you're doing tonight. It's because your very nature is to do those things. You need your nature changed tonight. If you're saved tonight, you still got a nature about you that needs an operation performed upon it. It needs to be cleansed and to be set in order. And therefore tonight, how are we going to get that taken care of? By the cleansing power, the sanctifying grace of the Holy Ghost. When He comes into our life, He sanctifies us wholly and sanctification. The word sanctify means to cleanse, to make clean, to free from guilt, and to make pure and to purge, praise God. And therefore tonight is a cleansing in this second thing, second word. And so it is tonight. How are we going to be cleansed then? By the Holy Ghost. It's by the Holy Ghost that we're cleansed. The Holy Ghost is what sanctifies our very nature and sets it in order and brings it back into the divine nature of God and sets us in, puts us back where God created us in the very beginning, that we might be in His very image, bless God. Not only all of our sins forgiven, but we've had our very nature changed and we're put back into the very nature of God, the very divine nature. Praise God. It just automatically, I was raised ignorantly and didn't know anything, but I know one thing, that I went astray as soon as I could. I went in sin. I didn't know anything. There was something that led me into sin, and therefore everybody that's ever been born, there's something there that leads them into sin. And therefore, after you have come in and you have had received the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has come in and sanctified you, then you take on a divine nature. And therefore then, just as the old other nature, call it whatever you will, just as it led you into sin, after you take on the divine nature, it will lead you into holiness and into righteousness, bless God. It's just nature for a sinner to commit sin. And it's the very nature of a sanctified person to do right, bless God. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. No wonder I've been able to live for the Lord. It's my very nature to live for God. It's my very nature to serve God. It's my very makeup. And I wasn't like that for all those years in sin. It was my nature to do as many bad things as I could do. And it was my nature to take advantage of people. It was my very nature. I didn't even like people. I didn't even care for people. All I wanted out of people was what I could get for myself. But bless God, when the Lord saved me from sin and sanctified my nature, then it became turned around, and my very desire is to love everybody, bless God. I love everybody tonight. It's my nature, bless God. I don't have no struggle serving the Lord. It's my very nature to serve the Lord. May God bless us tonight. We're going to get a hold of something here tonight. Now that's positive, bless God. Ain't going to be no confusion about it. It's just the plain plan of salvation. It's God's plan. It's God's way. And not because I'm a sinner, but because it's been the Word of God. And it's plain. It's clear. It's down to earth. Somebody says there's an old root down there. Stump. And I've heard it referred to many things. Carnal. Sin nature. Well, it is that in the case, but really what we're looking for to be purged out and to set in order is that nature that we were born with, the nature that caused you to lie and to steal and to cheat and to be mean and to be murmuring and complaining and all the things that natural people do. God wants to give you a new nature. Amen. Divine nature. He wants to give you a divine nature tonight. And therefore, when He gives you a divine nature, then it's just automatically you want to do the will of God. Praise God. You show me in the Bible where something, where God wants me to do something, I'll do it. It's my very nature to obey God. It's my very nature to measure up to God's Word. It's my very nature to do the will of God. It ain't no struggle for me to do that because that's my very nature. And I wasn't like that for 34 years. But I've been like that for almost 30 years now. Praise the Lord. My very nature is just to love God. My very nature is to love you and to love my enemies and to love those who despitefully use me. That's my very nature to do that. It's my very nature to measure to the Word of God. It's my very nature, as soon as I can get an understanding, it's always been. It, when God saved and sanctified me, there was no more questioning God about what to do, what I should measure up to and what I don't. You give me the truth, I'll measure to it. And I'm of the mind tonight, if you get saved and sanctified, you're still going to be like that. May the Lord help us tonight now. We try sometimes to get folks to measure up to things that they're not even able to measure up to. They ain't got what it takes to measure to it. May God help us tonight. This is what we need tonight. We need our sins blotted out. We need to be cleansed from all sin, and we need our nature sanctified. That's what the world needs. That's what people need. That will take care of the burdens and the problems of many, many, many people. May the Lord help us tonight. Amen. All right, let's see what we can find out now. How are we going to get it? Oh, we've got to know how to get it, don't we? Praise the Lord. This is very important. How are we going to get the Holy Ghost? Don't have to worry about now what the Holy Ghost is going to do. And you don't have to worry about how's He going to come in or anything that. But how? Don't have to worry about being sanctified. You don't have to ask the Lord to sanctify you. You just get the Holy Ghost. He'll sanctify you. He'll do the work. You just meet the condition for Him to come in, and He'll take care of the rest. All right? So what do we do to get Him? Well, we have to make a commitment to God. All right. We call it a consecration. We call it a dedication. We call it a setting aside ourselves for the service of God. It's called many things. But what it really is just a full, complete commitment to God. Of my soul, my body, my mind, my plans, my hopes, my past, my present, my future, all that I have or all that I ever will have, and everything that pertains to my life in this world, Lord, I commit that to you. No wonder the songwriter said, I saw the death, you got to die. Now let me say something here. The Lord wants to change our nature. That's what He wants to do. And He wants to make us in His image. Understand that, don't we? And us preachers are always trying to get folks to get like that. The Lord wants us to be like that. He wants us to be in the very nature of His Son, the very image of His Son. And therefore, the Holy Ghost, the Lord, cannot make you or me the kind of a person that He wants to be until He has full control. Why is that so? Because God does never ride over our will. He will not save you against your will. He will not force you to live for Him. He will not take away your freedom. Talking about freedom a while ago. If you're saved tonight, you're just as free to go on back out in the world as you want to be. God ain't going to keep you from going. He might talk to you and plead with you about it. But you're free. God never takes your freedom away. He never takes your choice away. He never takes the power away from you to do what you want to do. All right now. But so it is, therefore, as long as there's one thing about you and I, that our will is not completely surrendered and committed unto God, then God does not have full control, because your will is in the way of Him having complete preeminence in your life. Okay, we all right so far, I believe. May the Lord help us tonight. Oh, the Lord's been burning this in my heart. This is burning in my soul. I want every one of us to get a hold of it tonight. Oh, this is it, bless God. I know you've heard it before. This ain't nothing new, but maybe it's a little, different reproach, presented in different ways. But the Lord has helped me, I believe, to make it as plain and as simple as we can possibly do it. So there'll be no confusion about it at all. A lot of people are confused today. When do we get saved? When do we get sanctified? How does it work? What's it do? When we get saved, are we in Christ or out of Christ? Or do we have the Holy Ghost? Just a big bunch of confusion when there's no confusion about it. If you present it according to the Word of God, it's just simply to be saved from sin and let the Holy Ghost make a complete commitment or consecration to God. Present your body to the Lord, a living sacrifice. I can make a commitment to God. And sometime I've told this before, I'll tell it again. Right here, I believe it was about 3 years ago, we were dealing with folks. No, it was at Myrtle, I believe it was. We were dealing with people about at the altar to be sanctified, and seemed like they were having a hard struggle. And I questioned the Lord, why can't these people get the experience? Why can't they meet get what you have for them? How come folks are not really seem to be getting the real baptism of the Holy Ghost in this day and time? The Lord spoke to me, and it said, because their commitment and their consecration is not complete. That's why they're not doing it. And He brought to my thought, just as I mentioned a while ago, that our will is involved in this whole thing. If you're holding back one little thing for yourself, God does not have, because He cannot have full control of you, because He will not ride over your will, see. And therefore, until you and I have made a complete commitment to God and surrender, that's why I recommend that folks get saved, go right on and receive this experience right away before they get confused about the thing.
If you really want to get confused, you listen to a lot of people's testimonies, how they got sanctified, and you get a lot of books and read about it, and you won't even know whether they're in the Holy Ghost or not. But if you can simply get a hold of the fact that God has saved me, and He's washed me in His blood, and He's made a new creature out of me, and now I want to dedicate my whole life to God, and that's all it takes. That's all it takes. And when you do that, the Holy Ghost comes in and He begins to work a work in your life and to eradicate and set in order that the nature that you was born with and put you in the very image of His Son and give you a divine nature that wants to do right. Are we getting you mixed up so far? I don't believe so. This is from God. This ain't from Brother Salmons tonight. This is from God. I believe He wants you to hear it tonight. I believe He wants this audience to hear it tonight. Because we have some other things on our mind. Now, okay, I am saved and I'm sanctified and all my worries are over. How tricky the devil is. Oh, all I can sit back and lean on my knees. I've got a testimony that 20 years ago I got saved and sanctified and I still got the victory. Well, that's wonderful. Praise God. But I'm going to tell you tonight that the Holy Ghost, when He comes into your life, He sets you in order and puts things back where it's supposed to be. But praise God, He's a living being that lives in our heart, lives in our very life, and He's there constantly living in you and I. And I'm going to tell you, if you've lived such a life that you haven't need anything cleansed out since you've been sanctified, I'd like for you to lift your hand tonight. May the Lord help us tonight. The Holy Spirit, yes, it is a complete work. When we are saved and sanctified, we are holy and restored into the very image of God in holiness and purity and cleanness and all those things. But I want to tell you tonight, I'm glad for the Holy Ghost that burns in my soul. I'm glad for the Holy Ghost that's lived in my life and that I've been able to call upon Him, Lord. I want You to cleanse this thing out of my life. Something has come up here and I need something taken out. Praise God tonight. The Holy Ghost not only sanctifies you when He comes in, but He lives and dwells in you to work in you and to give you power and to cleanse you and to set in order everything that arises in your life as you walk through this world. Praise God tonight. It's wonderful tonight. I'm not talking about growing in sanctification. I'm just talking about the Holy Ghost living in our life, consuming. Our God is a consuming fire. He lives in the souls of His sanctified people. He sanctified them to start with. He will not dwell in an unclean temple. And therefore He comes in and He sanctifies and purifies and sets in order our lives. And then He moves in and He said He would walk in them and He would dwell in them and He would be our God and we could be His people. I thank God tonight for the cleansing of the church. I read you the scripture there. Talking to the church of God. The church of God has to be cleansed. God is a cleansing power. It's a cleansing agent. And He's always working and purifying, setting things in order in our very soul. It's a constant working thing. It just ain't a one-shot deal and then go off and leave us. But it is something that lives in our soul and it is there available for everybody to use. Amen. May the Lord help us tonight. Don't want to confuse nobody now. May the Lord help us to make it real plain. Living and dwelling in our very soul. The Lord gave me a little parable one time. It said over there that Jesus said He would baptize us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I like to think about, give me this little parable in my mind, that when the Holy Ghost comes in, He is a consuming fire. Some people say he does one thing, and some people say this is the proof you have him, and this is the proof you have him, and you got to do this to know you got him. I tell you what he does. He comes in and he changes your very nature. You can tell where you got him or not, how you think and how you live. May the Lord help us. But he comes in, and that original, that Holy Ghost comes in the beginning, and he purges and cleanses and sets in order that old man, and then he lives and dwells. I thought about that one time. He's like going out here and piling up a brush pile and setting fire to the thing, and the fire just consumes the whole brush pile. But all the coals are still there, and the little flame is still burning. And any time you see a little piece of paper laying around out somewhere, you can pick it up and lay it on the fire, and the fire will consume that thing. There are going to be things arising in your life all through that's going to need to be cleansed. Oh, let the Lord help us today. Going to need the consuming power, the fire of the Holy Ghost, consume things in our life. Paul said, I bring my body in subjection. He was a sanctified man. And I bring it into subjection, lest after I preach to others, I be a castaway. I'll tell you, bless you tonight. If you've got the Holy Ghost tonight, you've got something to take care of that problem you're having tonight. Let the Holy Ghost burn it out. He not just sanctified you in the beginning, but he's living and dwelling in the hearts of your people, living there to consume, living there to cleanse and to purify everything that arises. May the Lord help us tonight. Praise God for him. I wouldn't be saved tonight. Wasn't for this thought tonight. I mean, I didn't have the thought before, but it's been a reality anyway. There's been things arisen in my life since I've been saved and sanctified. There's been things rose up in my life that I needed the Holy Ghost to burn that thing out. All right. I needed it. And it's there. Sometimes folks just, well, I'm not sanctified. I go back to you all. I've done that. No, if you got saved and sanctified, just put it on the fire. Let the Holy Spirit consume the thing. He'll do it. A mighty working force. There's a mighty working force living in the hearts and dwelling in the heart of God's sanctified people that's able to consume and able to burn and able to cleanse, able to set in order everything that arises in your life. May God help us tonight. Oh, that Holy Spirit, he lives there and he dwells there and he's there available. Oh, when things begin to rise and sanctified and saved and so forth. Oh, there's things that come along. Somebody says, oh, I got this old attitude to come up. Oh, you're not saved or you're not sanctified or you wouldn't have that attitude. I'm going to tell you, I don't care how sanctified you are tonight, you're still a human being. You're still a human being. And God does not take away our human nature about us. He leaves us just as human. You're just as human tonight as you was when you got saved and sanctified. You still have desires. You have passions. You have appetites. And you have things that arise in your life that you're going to need some help from God. And that's what the Holy Ghost is provided for. To set his people in order, his church, which is his people, it set it in order on the day of Pentecost, and it's living in hearts of people, it's dwelling in the hearts of God's sanctified people today, not only to set it in order, but bless God, it keeps it in order. It keeps it in order. It's the Holy Ghost that keeps the church in order. May the Lord help us tonight. I'm going to prove that to you in a little bit. It's the Holy Ghost that keeps the church clean. Yes, it is. It's the Holy Ghost that keeps you clean. If you're sanctified tonight, if you're a real sanctified creature tonight, and you're clear with God on every line, you not only are saved and sanctified, but you're allowing the Holy Ghost to have complete control of your life. That keeps you clear. the Holy Ghost will keep you pure. He'll keep you clean. And if you get a little old bad attitude rise up, then you can just call on the Holy Spirit. Lord, God, I don't want this to be like this. I don't want to act like this. I've showed a bad attitude here today. I'm going to take that thing and put it on the fire. Consume that thing, Lord, out of my life. I don't want that thing around me anymore. Wait a minute now. You're going to have to make that same consecration. Remember what I said? You have to make a complete commitment to God before you ever get sanctified. And if you want God to take something out of your life, you're going to have to let God have His complete way in the matter. Some folks don't want to get rid of their attitude. May the Lord help us today. Some folks don't want to get rid of their self-pity. They like to have self-pity. Yeah, somebody take advantage of me. Praise God. Listen, everything, if you're a sanctified person tonight, it's a new commitment. It's a new consecration. You don't get sanctified over and over again. But every time you want God to take something out of your life, you got to make that same surrender to God. Lord, I'm willing for You to have Your complete right away in all this thing tonight. And when you're willing for God to take it away, it will go away. It will go away. May the Lord help us tonight. Well, do you know this? This ain't new. This is right. This is right. This is what the whole... Oh, I got saved years ago. I'm sanctified. Praise God. I'm glad for that. I'm glad for that. But I don't know about you folks, but I've needed the Holy Ghost thousands of times since I've been sanctified. I need Him. I need Him. There have been things come up in my life that I needed to take it out. There have been things come up in my life that I needed purged. I needed cleansed. I needed taken away. Does God purge His church? He that bringeth forth fruit, He purgeth it, that it'll bring forth more fruit. You ain't never going to get to the place you don't need some purging. You ain't never going to get so holy and so sanctified. They're trying to seek an experience higher than what God's got for. He forgave you of your sins, and He gave you His Holy Spirit. What else do you need? What else do you need? You've got the whole power of heaven backing you. You've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost supporting you and backing you. And you've got His Spirit living right in your very heart, right in your life. And when something comes up that you know is not right, you get caught up in something, something happens, and you get a wrong attitude, or somebody mistreats you, or you get an ill feeling, or you begin to murmur, and you begin to complain, and you begin to find a little fault. Somebody didn't treat me right. Somebody took advantage of me. Praise God. What you need to do is to lean right back on the Holy Ghost. Make that consecration, Lord. If they're going to run over me, let them run, Lord. If they're going to talk about me, let them talk, Lord. I'm willing for You to have Your way in all these things. And the Holy Ghost purge it out when you're willing to give it up. When you're willing, it's the same consecration all the way through. You consecrate originally to get it, and you consecrate every time you call on it to do something for you. Why? Why? Going right back to our original thought, if you're not willing to give it up, God won't take it away from you. God won't relieve you if you've got trouble trying to serve the Lord. There's something about you that's displeasing to the Lord. There's something you don't like about yourself. There's something you'd like to get the victory over. But God will not take it away. You can feel pray all you want to about it. You can ask prayer. You can lift your hand. You can call on prayer. But until you get willing for God to have His way in the matter, God won't take it away. Because He don't ride over people's will. He don't ride over people's will. He won't come down there, I'm just going to straighten you out, man. God don't work that way. I'm going to set you in order. I'll fix you. That ain't God's way of working. God will point it out to you, and He's living in you. He said, you don't have to call. Oh, what shall we say? Somewhere in the Bible said something about, where shall we do? Call him over here. Bring him over here. Oh, we'll get him over there. No, he's right here. He said he's right. You don't have to go nowhere. Oh, I'll wait till I get to camp meeting. I'll move over to another congregation. I'll go where they're more spiritual. I'll go to this preacher over here. I'll go to that preacher over there. He'll help me get to victory. No, no, no. What you need to do, come with your heart before God. I'll be willing for God to have His way. Surrender your will. Surrender yourself. And let God move it out of your heart and life. Go on rejoicing. Praise the Lord. The living God. A living Holy Spirit tonight. I guess there's more confusion about that than anything in the world. Why? Because it's a very agent that keeps the church clean. It's an agent again. And when we're talking about the church, we're talking about us folks cleaning. It's a church. It's the Holy Ghost that cleanses us. It's the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, ain't no cleansing and sanctification. That's all it is cleansing. That's all it really is cleansing. That's its main job is to cleanse. If you ain't got no cleansing, you ain't got no Holy Ghost. That's doctrine. It's just no sense about it at all. Because the very word sanctification means cleansing. And the whole thing, the main, it does other things, many other things. But the main thing that it done in the beginning was to cleanse. And the main thing that's there living in you for is to cleanse you from these things that come up in your human nature. Praise God. Yes, you're human. Somebody said, well, we don't get cleansed. We just get power over that warped nature. No, that ain't right. We get rid of that thing. God sets the old depraved nature in order. But then you say, well, we just have power over it. No, God cleanses us and sets us in order. And then He gives us power. It said we'd receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon. But what kind of power, and what's the power for? It's to control our human nature. To cleanse us. Yes, you're human. I know some folks get so sanctified they're not even human, but I ain't seen any of them yet. And some of them get so sanctified they don't make no mistake, but I ain't seen any of them yet. I've been around for a long time. I ain't seen any. May the Lord help. Maybe there's some around. Maybe I ain't seen everybody, but I just haven't seen any. Everybody I see is going to need some help from God. Everybody I've ever known is going to have to call on God to eradicate this thing and help me out in this matter, Lord. I've got this thing come up here, and I don't seem to have the power over it I need, and I want the Holy Ghost to move that out of my life. I'm willing, Lord, for You to have Your way. I'm willing to pay the price. I'm willing to meet the condition. I'm willing to suffer the reproach. I'm willing to pay the price. Just get rid of this thing, Lord, out of my life. It'll come up again later on. But you can call on the same Holy Ghost to take care of it again. The Holy Ghost is a continually working power, cleansing power in the child of God. That's what He is. Amen. A continually. And He'll be there to sanctify you right on down through the end. Right on down, cleansing you from those things that arise in your life. I got a couple of two words down here. One of them was an attitude and our disposition. You know, we're just so human, ain't we? Well, that's just my makeup. Well, I want to tell you tonight, the Lord can help you on that makeup of yours. If you're willing for God to corral that tongue of yours, He'll corral it for you. And I said, oh, I just talk too much. God can help you. But He'll only help if you're willing to close your mouth. He ain't going to cut your tongue out. He's going to expect you to shut your mouth. If you're willing to shut your mouth, He'll control your tongue for you. All right. Yeah, but that's just my makeup. Well, it's a bad makeup. It ain't Christ-like. See, the Lord not only wants to sanctify us and forgive us, but He wants our very human nature to put on exhibition Christ. And one brother said, I've been working on this old man for 30 years. I can say the same thing. Now it's almost 30 years. I've been working on old Mark for all these years. I've been enlisting the Holy Ghost. When something comes up that's not Christ-like or diminishes the beauty of holiness and the beauty of Christ in my life, then I begin calling on the Holy Spirit. Lord, I don't want to be like this. Cleanse this thing out, Lord. He'll cleanse it out for you. He's living right there. You don't have to go over there and get Him. He's here. Living right there in your very soul. A working power and force. A consuming. I like to think of the Holy Spirit as something that consumes. Fire. Oh, there's a fire around. Some people think that's a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. That ain't what God's talking about at all. Ain't what He's talking about at all. Fire is when the Bible talks about fire, it's talking about the Holy Ghost. Amen. It wasn't because those people at Pentecost was carrying on in a manner like that and all this thing that they, you know, was cutting such a shine. That ain't why they said they thought they was drunk. It wasn't because they was cutting a shine. It was because they was hearing them talk in their own language. Something wrong with these people. They can talk and I can understand what they're saying. They must be drunk. Some people think they had a big old carrying on there that day of some kind. Yeah, it was the fire of the Holy Ghost consuming that natural tongue and putting out a language that they were all able to comprehend. Praise God for the Holy Ghost tonight. A working force in our very soul, working in our hearts and lives to eradicate and to set in order. Keep in mind our thought. You had to consecrate to get it. You got to consecrate to keep it working. Everything you want God to do for you, you've got to be willing to pay the price. Everything you want taken out of your life, you've got to be willing for God to have His way in the matter. You had to do that to get sanctified. That's why you didn't get sanctified, maybe. And like I told, preached that message or somewhere or another, maybe that was Myrtle too. And I said, you can have an experience that you can know about. And some sister came after meeting and she said, I want what you preached. Now I'm on the spot. I said, you can get it, and here she wants it, and now what am I going to do? Can you really get it? He said, does it really work like that? Yes, I preached what the Lord gave me, and I know it worked. We tucked a young lady down in her cabin, wife and I, and we dealt with her. And we said, are you got it all committed to the Lord? Are you willing for God to have His way in your life? Are you willing for God to have control of your whole being, your future, your boyfriends, your marriage, your job, your husband, your wife, your children, your job, where you live and where you don't live? Are you willing for God to do all those things? Yes. We prayed. Nothing happened. Oh, come on now, sister. There's something. Let's get down to business here now. There's something lacking. Are you sure? Well, there's one thing. Okay. Oh, thank God. I'm glad we found it. One thing. I said, are you willing to quit that? I'll not say what it was. It wasn't a very big thing. I said, are you willing to quit that? And it was something that she did to kind of keep a reproach down. Something pertaining to her outward appearance or something. I said, are you willing to suffer that reproach and not use that anymore? She thought and she thought. And finally said, yes. Okay. I'll not use it no more. Okay, we had a little short prayer. And the Holy Ghost came down through the ceiling and filled her very soul. She didn't have to say, are you sanctified? Are you all right now? No, it was real. It was real. When we would be willing to pay the price, God will send the holy fire. Why ain't people getting it? Because they're not willing. They're not willing to surrender their will. They're not willing to die to self. They're not willing to give it all up. And therefore, the old, you say, well, do I have to do that? Yes. Why do I have to? Why does God require? I'm going to repeat myself right here. Why does God require me to give it all up? Because God cannot work with you or me and have His way, because our will is in the way. He won't ride over our will. God won't save anybody. You can pray for somebody as long as you want to until they get willing. God will never save them. And you can just pray for sanctification all you want to, but you'll never receive the experience until you come to that place that you're willing to make a commitment to God of everything that pertains to your life. And when you're that way, then your will is broken. Your will is broken. What they say about an old horse, you can't train it till you get its will broken. I guess that'd work with children too. But then they say don't break their will. You know, these race horses over Kentucky, that's one thing they never want to do is break their will. They want them to be wild. But I'm going to tell you, until your will is broken, you're never going to get this experience. And I'm going to tell you something else. If you have paid the price and you've received the prize and you've saved and sanctified, you'll never get that thing that you're battling in your life taken care of until your will is broken in the matter. Some folks like attention. You know, self likes attention. Self likes to be recognized. Self likes to be pitied. Self likes to have its way. May the Lord bless us tonight. Are you willing to not be recognized anymore? Are you willing to take the back seat anymore? Are you willing to not see your name in print anymore? Are you willing to have no recognition anymore? May the Lord help us tonight. I don't know why this wouldn't be good for us all tonight. This is it. This is where the problem is. This is the holdup. God showed me this is where it's at. You're going to not only get sanctified, but you need, I'm going to use this word, and I hope you don't get mixed on it, but you're going to need the cleansing power of the Holy Ghost as long as you live in this world. That not only just to get sanctified, but you need to keep it on hands to cleanse you from things that's going to rise in your life. And you can call on the Holy Ghost to purge that out. Cleanse that out, and the Holy Ghost will do the work when you're willing for God to have His way. Amen. Opinions? This is my opinion. I'll tell you, we just need to keep our opinions to ourselves, shouldn't we? May the Lord help us. This is my opinion. Well, your opinion ain't worth a hill of beans, and mine ain't either. If you're having trouble with what your opinion is and you're not willing to lay it down, never get the help. You'll always be bothered with it. I guess those are just some words that came to my mind. The tongue, I already mentioned that. And that old gossip things. Well, if I don't ever call anybody on the phone, they won't know whether I'm still living or not. And if I don't tell somebody what kind of meetings I'm holding and how God's blessed me, they won't even know if I'm even preaching anymore. And if I don't tell them how many got saved and how big a great meeting we had, they won't think I'm a very good preacher anymore. May the Lord help us now. You know what this life is? It's a secret life. You know what a real sanctified life is? It's a life hid away in Christ in God. It's a life, a death route. It's a death every day. It's a day when you pray, enter into your closet. And when you do your arms, don't let nobody know what your right hand, your left hand is doing. Just keep it in close contact with the Lord, allowing the Holy Ghost to purge and work and cleanse and purify and set in order. And He'll keep you saved. He'll keep you sanctified. He'll keep you with victory. And listen to me. If you need anything, He'll reveal even that unto you. Yes, He'll reveal that to you. Oh, He'll put His hand on it. You've been wearing this long enough. You shouldn't wear this. You should take that off. You should put this on. And He'll tell it. But He will not give you the victory until you're willing to do it. You've got to be willing to do it. I'm bothered about this thing, and I have an awful struggle with this thing, and I've been battling this thing for a long time. That don't mean you're not saved. And not necessarily don't mean that you're not sanctified. You just haven't become willing yet for God to take that thing away yet. And God's standing there, the Holy Ghost just there with a burning, consuming fire, just ready to reach out and suck that thing away. Just as soon as you're willing to turn it loose, He's just right there. Draw it right away from you. Because He wants us to be sanctified and pure and holy and clean. That's what God's church is. And that's what God's church is. I'm going to say is. It ain't what it's supposed to be, but that's what it is. And I'm going to prove to you in a little bit that it's going to stay that way. It's been that way all the way through, and it'll always be that way.
That's the way it is.
That's the way it is. God's church ain't something ought to be, it's something that is. It ain't something that's going to be, but it's something that is now. And it's as pure now as it was the day it was made. And it's been pure all the way through, and it'll be pure when Jesus comes. Because God's always going to have a people that's willing to die to themselves. They're willing for God to have His way in their life. God's always going to have a people that's willing to pay the price and measure to the Word of God, if it's the Word of God. And oh, the Holy Ghost. I rely on the Holy Ghost. He'll teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. I'll tell you tonight, we won't have to be, if you get folks sanctified and their will broken, I'll tell you the preachers won't have a very hard time. All you got to do is mention the thing and they'll gladly accept it if it's Bible. You can prove it by the Bible, they'll accept it. They won't argue with you and they won't fight over it and they won't make a big issue out of it. You just get a soul that's sanctified and His will is broken and dedicated to God. I'll show you a person when you don't bring something out of the Word and you show him that's truth and that's right, he'll accept that thing. That's my experience with preaching for many, many years. I don't have no trouble getting sanctified people to measure up. You don't have no problem with that. What we need to do is work with our folks to get the blood applied to their sins. And then teach them and get them as quick as you can. Brother Austin said the other night, just as quick as you can, get them sanctified. Get them sanctified as quick as you can. Because then they've got something in their Holy Spirit. Then their will is broken, because you got to have your will broken or you can't get sanctified. And after your will is broken, then you become submissive. And then you become obedient. Then you come willing. Never been hard for me to measure up to the Word of God. Oh, now I've had some struggles with some things. I've had self on hands too sometimes. I've had it to rise up. I'm human too. I'm just as human as I was before I was ever saved. I'm still human. And I have human things happen to me. But I'm glad I've got the Holy Ghost. And when that human element about me begins to mar the beauty of holiness, it begins to mar the beauty of the church, it begins to bring a reproach of something, I call on the Holy Ghost, consume that thing. I'm willing to pay the price. Lord, have your way in the matter and take it away, Lord, and the Holy Ghost sucks it away. Sucks it away. Because I'm willing. Willing. And I'm going to repeat this again. Every time you find a need in your soul, every time you see something about your makeup, every time that something you've fallen into, everything the devil has got you tricked in, every time that you want to get rid of that thing, I'm talking to sanctified people right now, every time you want to get rid of that thing, you got to make the same consecration as you did when you got sanctified in the beginning. Got to let God have His way in the matter. Got to be willing for God's will to be done in the matter. Thank the Lord tonight. Well, amen. Tongue. Some folks have a problem of forgiving people. Have unforgiveness. Can you be saved and still have a problem with that? Can you be saved and sanctified and still things like this come up? Somebody treats you wrong, or they talk about you and they give you a hard time, and you get a little feelings rise up, and are you willing for God to take that away? Are you willing for the Lord to set that thing in order for you? He'll set it in order just like He set you in the order beginning. He not only, like I said before, He not only sanctified the church on the day of Pentecost, but He moved into their hearts. And it is that Holy Ghost, repeating again, that sanctifying, cleansing, powerful Holy Ghost that has preserved His church and kept it pure and clean all the way through. All the way through. It ain't because somebody got sanctified 20 years ago and they've been able to live above making a mistake. It ain't because somebody's lived all these years without stumbling somewhere along the way. If it is, I'm in bad shape tonight, folks. You'll just have to pray the Lord save me all over again because I made some blunders along the way. But I've been able to call on the Holy Ghost and surrender my will to God's will. And God would take it away and straighten it out and fix it up. And I could go on my way rejoicing as though it never been. God can take care of that thing you're struggling with tonight. I'm not saying you're not saved and sanctified. Some folks say, I'm not sanctified or I wouldn't have this thing. Oh, I know some sanctified people that have things that need to be cleansed out of their life. And the Holy Ghost will cleanse it out if you'll make the same commitment that you did in the beginning. God will take it away. May the Lord bless us tonight. Now, thank the Lord. Well, well. I don't really preach this lie harder anymore. I try to slow down a little bit. But this is burning in my soul. Burning in my soul. The Holy Spirit burning in my very heart tonight. And He's burning right among His church. And He's going around through every individual. And He's living there. He's living in your heart if you've ever made that commitment to God and saved and sanctified. He's living there and He's not dead. He didn't go on a journey somewhere or another. But He's living right there in your soul to help you in your struggles, help you in your weaknesses and your problems of life and your things that you come up against. He's going to be right there to help you so you might maintain that saved and sanctified experience. You might maintain that godly nature and that divine nature, that you might act like Christ and talk like Christ and relate to people like Christ did. He's always in there, always working, always making adjustments to those who are surrendered and those who are dedicated, those who are willing. He's always working on you and fixing you and setting you up and changing you and setting things in order to make you more like Christ. Praise God. That's His Word. All right? I'm going to get down to a real serious thought right now. Real serious thought. God came, as we heard the other night, to buy for Himself a sanctified church. A sanctified church. That's what He came for. And that's what He's coming back after. And that's what He's had all the way through. And therefore tonight, this is a dangerous place. I'm going to give out some good, sound, solid warning right here. It's a dangerous thing to resist the Holy Ghost. It's a dangerous thing to resist the workings of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Because God bought for Himself a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And therefore He has provided all the ingredients that is needed to make it that way and to keep it that way. Everything is available to you tonight to be set free from sin and to live a holy life right here. Every day, every provision and every ingredient has been provided for you to do that. And the only thing you have to do to obtain that and keep that is to repent of your sin, confess and be saved and make a holy commitment to God and let your will be broken and surrendered and live a surrendered life to God and you'll be a part of the beautiful church of God. And that's what He comes back. He'll take you to heaven. And therefore tonight we have no excuse because He has provided all the ingredients. Not only to give us an experience, but I'm going to emphasize this thought. To live and dwell in us and help us every day of our life. to be an overcomer. Anybody here ever need God to help them? Brother Ori, you've been around a long time. Do you still depend on the Lord to keep you? Or are you keeping yourself? No. If you are, you're going to fail. You're going to fail. We're kept by the power of God through faith. The Holy Ghost is what keeps the church pure. It's what sets things in order. It's what sets the ministers in the body. I know some of them get out of order, and some of them ain't never been set in. Some ain't never been set in. But that's the price of freedom sometimes. We got to pay a price for freedom. But I still love freedom. We don't want no pulpit committee. I'd rather lose a couple of services than I would to have a pulpit committee, wouldn't you? Freedom has always been expensive, and is still expensive today. And for you and I to maintain a freedom and worship and allow our services to be led of the Spirit of the Lord, we'll have to suffer. The devil's going to get in sometimes. Ain't going to work. But we don't have to be too frightened. God will purge it out. He'll purge it out. When it gets to the place to where it's interfering with the working of His body, of His church, He'll purge it away. That ain't my job necessarily. Now, if somebody's crooked, I can deal with them. But listen, he that bringeth forth fruit, he purges it, that it bring forth more fruit. And he that bringeth forth not fruit, here's the danger point. He taketh it away. He taketh it away. Therefore, I don't never, and I want you preachers to be at ease, because the church will never be corrupted. It'll never be corrupted. There'll be things attack it, and there'll be things come around close to it. But it'll never be corrupted. Because God's Holy Spirit fire is over and in and through and around and about, preserving, keeping His church pure and holy. Now here's the danger. And here's what I want to warn you about. If the Holy Spirit deals with you, and you recognize a need in your life, and you recognize that you're not everything that God wants you to be. I'm talking to saved people right now. And God deals with you about a certain matter, or you get off balance somewhere or another, or you get out of base somewhere or another, and God's Holy Spirit begins to deal with your heart, and you begin to recognize your need, and you begin to come up short, and you begin to fail and know that this ain't pertaining to holiness. It ain't pertaining to godliness. And you keep resisting the Holy Spirit. You keep resisting the Holy Spirit. And you keep riding over that need that you have in your life. And you keep not willing to break your will. That's the problem, see. You're not willing for God to have His way yet. You keep on. One of these days, the Lord will do some purging. God will do some purging. God will do some purging. This is the most serious thought that I've had in a long time. Brother Warner got hold of this thought many, many years ago. 407, you know, I believe. 404. God is sweeping through the nation with a mighty searching eye. With an awful searching eye. Every spot of imperfection, when you or me or whoever, I don't care how long you've been saved, I don't care how long you preached, I don't care who you think you are, when you become defiled and you're not willing to allow God's will to be done in your life, you keep doing that, one day God will take you away. Why? Because His church is pure. His church is spotless. Now God's long-suffering, and God's grace extends and extends and extends.
But one day, if you or me are doing something, and this is why I don't worry about it. I quit worrying about the church ever being defiled or going down or anything like that. I'm concerned about people. And I want to warn them and be watchful and prayerful and careful and guard your sacrifice and listen to the minister and all that. But I am not concerned about the purity of the church, because that's God's business. That's God's business. And God is the one that does the purging. He's the one that takes away. And He's the one that sets in order. And He's the one that's kept it all these years. Wouldn't we be a little feeble bunch? One time we was in a group of ministers, and we were trying to solve a problem. And we was really working on it. And we was really trying to figure it out. And we was really trying to get it set in order. I kind of got a little vision of the Lord looking on me. Them poor little creatures down there. Poor little creatures. He just kind of... Well, He wants us to do those things. Listen, brother. God's going to take care of this thing. You saints, be encouraged tonight. This is the most beautiful church in all. It's the only one. It's the only one. It's pure. It's holy. It's preserved. It's eternal. It always has been and always will be. Pure, holy, without blot or blameless or any such thing. To preserve her pure, He must make a sacrifice. God sacrifices some people. And here's what I want to warn you tonight. If God deals with your heart, and you're testifying to being a part of the church of God, and God deals with you about your attitudes, and He deals with you about your gossip, and He deals with you about your tongue, and He deals with you about our own ways, and He deals with you about self, you better pay the price and let God take it out of you. You better do that, and I'm saying that's a warning. You better do it, because God will not allow you to defile His church. He will not allow me to defile His church. He'll take me away. I might even go right on preaching, but it'll be a hollow sound. It won't be nothing to it. And this is the greatest danger. I'm going to give you another warning here tonight. I could read those scriptures that goes along with this song here. There's scriptures to prove this. Jesus gave His life to purchase for Himself a spotless bride. All who fear Him and obey Him cleansed beneath the crimson tide. Crimson. Keep cleansing. I want you to remember this song. He cleanses when He sanctifies you, and He keeps right on cleansing. Right on cleansing. He that believeth and is baptized to be saved. The word believeth means to continue. It ain't enough just to get saved and sanctified. That's the beginning. But then you got to maintain that walk with God, that relationship with the Lord. You got to allow God's will to be done in your life. You got to be willing for your will to be broken. Got to be willing to humble yourself. You got to be willing for God to make adjustments in your life. You got to be willing for God to fix you and to straighten you and to fix you, cut away, put on, and take off, or whatever it might be, your attitude, your spirit, your whatever that comes up in your life. You got to be willing for God to continue to cleanse. In you to work. If you stay dedicated, God will do that for you. Our job is to be dedicated. Our job is to be committed. You can't cleanse. You can't save yourself. You can't sanctify yourself. And let me tell you, you can't keep yourself saved either. You can't keep yourself saved either. You've got to keep your will submitted to God and let Him work in and through you. The Holy Ghost is the keeper. He's the cleanser. He's the keeper. He's the purifier. He's the one that's going to take us through. Now let me tell you something. To preserve her, he must make a sacrifice. To preserve her pure and spotless, he must make a sacrifice. Give to evil spirits supper, all who give. Let me tell you something. Many times, watch this. Many times when God comes to the extreme where people's will not be broken, and they become defiling the body of Christ and the church of God, and which is all the same, then the Lord purges them. Purges them out of the church. And where do they go? What happens to them? Does he kill them? Not necessarily. Does he take their life? No. Does he put them down there on skid row? No. Not necessarily. Does he cause them to lose their job? No. Not necessarily. Does he cause their home to be broken up? No. Not necessarily. Many times they just go right on. And here's the danger. When you have grieved the Spirit of the Lord to where you have defiled, come to the place to where you're defiling the church, and you are not willing to allow your will to be broken and come into order, God will sacrifice. He'll purge you away. And where will you go? You'll be on the devil's territory then. And who is the most religious person in all of the devil's kingdom? Is the devil himself. He is a religious devil. The world is full of religion. And most of the majority of the time, that you'll fall into some kind of a religion. And a lot of times you'll fall under some false, emotional, great feeling of some kind or another. May the Lord help us right here now. I'm going to make a statement right here. God is purging some things out of his church. Always has been. But I feel the Lord showed me just recently that I've set my hand to purge some things away. And where are they going? Where are they at? They don't just backslide necessarily. I mean, they do, but they don't profess to. Many times they're turned over to some kind of a hilarious feeling. They're turned over to some emotional high. And they're blind as they can be. They become unreasonable. You can't talk to them. You can't deal with them. They're self-willed. They're stubborn. They're rebellious. I know what I'm talking about. So God, if he goes to the extreme to where he would have to purge you out to keep his church pure, you're just liable to wind up with some great feeling somewhere or another. And you may prosper. You may get a good job. And you'll find somebody out there that's... If you're a young lady, you're liable to find you a real good husband out there. And if you're a boy, a brother, or a man, you're liable to find the woman of your dream. And you're liable to get married and just get along fine. And all the time, you're a candidate for hell. God help us tonight. God help us. The angels which left their first estate, God has reserved in the chains of darkness. Preachers that will defile the church, try to defile, get to the place to where they're defiling and they're hindering the work of God and they won't humble themselves, God will take them away. We don't have to worry about that. That's God's business. That's God's business. Tonight, if the Lord dealing with your heart, you never have had an experience, you're not saved, You're backslidden. You've never really been sanctified. Your will has never really been broken. Why don't you come tonight? Let God break your will. Let God, you break. That's your job. Ain't God done. I've had people, Lord, I've had dealt with people, Lord. I said, do you want to be sanctified? Yes. I said, well, you're going to have to consecrate. Well, I want to. Well, if you want to bad enough, you can. You can. That's your part. That's your job. See, our part in this whole business is to set ourselves aside for God. We can't save ourselves, we can't sanctify ourselves, and we can't keep ourselves saved, but we can commit ourselves to God. Amen. Let's stand and sing a song. You're here tonight. You want an experience with the Lord? You can have it. Sing that song let's just sing that song we're reading there. You here tonight? You're not saved? You come and be saved tonight. If you don't have an experience like we've heard tonight, your will has never been broken. You've never received the cleansing and power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You need to come tonight. Make that kind of a consecration. And let me say something else. If you've been battling, maybe you can do this even in your seat. But if you're saved and sanctified tonight, and there's something you've been struggling against and struggling with, something been hindering your walk with God, something been keeping you from having the victory, let me tell you something. You can get rid of that just like you got rid of the thing in the beginning. Surrender it to God tonight. Let us sing.